More than environmental disaster, more than economic turmoil, it is about falling away from Christ. That is the greatest danger. Find out more on this episode of Inverse. The book of Hebrews is a beautiful book that talks about the deity of Jesus Christ from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and in this episode, we're in chapter 5 and 6. Paul, the author, takes a little bit of a discursus or a break, and we're going to have in the studio, we have Callie, Sebastian, and Israel. Hey, guys.
Hi. Hello.
And it's kind of as if, you know, Paul's preaching, and I think he is preaching here, and it's as if he talks about Melchizedek, yeah? And it's as if their eyes kind of glaze over, right? And then he kind of goes a little bit into blasting mode. Yeah. We'll pray. But he says here in verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. And then he goes into this chapter long kind of blast about falling away from God and the dangers of that. Yes. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And it doesn't that happen to all of us? Yeah, we have these, we are all in danger of that. So Israel, can you pray for us? And then Callie, if you can read from chapter 6, and then we'll get into this discussion.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your presence to be with us and that the words that we read would have an impact in our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Callie, can you read chapter 6, verse 9 through 12, please?
Yes. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Sebastian, can you read verse 19 and 20 for us?
Yes. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Okay, so that after that blast, he does come full circle and comes back to Melchizedek, you know? And there's some people, man, sometimes they go off on these tangents, you don't know where they're going, but then at the end, they always bring it back, comes back to Melchizedek, yes? Yeah. Israel, can you kind of give us a recap? Where have we been in Hebrews and from chapter 1 to chapter 5? Yeah. And then bring us up to speed here.
Yeah, so we talked about the fact that the book of Hebrews is actually a sermon, and in each of the and it essentially consists of two parts, a theological part, which I hate that word, and then also an exhortation part, right? In other words, he's bringing out a doctrinal or spiritual truth,
teaching point, and, and an ethical point,
right? And then that right now in the last portion of chapter 5 and all of chapter 6 is dealing with this third exhortation. He actually rebukes them, as you've said, end of chapter 5, he rebukes them. He gives us a warning in the beginning of chapter 6.
Okay.
And then he doesn't leave us with the warning, but then he'll encourage us by the time we reach the end of chapter 6.
Okay.
And so that's kind of like the three main things we're focusing on. We're focusing on the rebuke. He rebukes us.
Yes.
He gives us a warning in the beginning of chapter 6, and then he encourages us.
Let's go into those each of these parts. That was very good. Let's go to the rebuke. Israel, can you read that rebuke part for us?
Sure. It begins in chapter 5, and we talked about the fact that, you know, you're dull of hearing. Verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So essentially what we're saying is, look, how is it possible that after all this time, after all of your experience with Christ, after all your journey in following Christ, you are still drinking or eating the food of babes? Instead of you being teachers, you should now by this time be teachers. You yourselves are in need of teachers. And so that's the rebuke that he's given, that How is it possible that after all this time, you're still not grasping the things that are the meat, the spiritual meat?
It seems like there is simple stuff and advanced stuff here, right? Yeah. Right? And yeah. then they, maybe in their experience, they've hit a ceiling, and he's rebuking them. There is no ceiling when it comes to the Word of God. You got to keep on growing.
Sebastian. That's right. And that's exactly what I was going to say, is that the Apostle Paul is suggesting that he believes that there should always be a progression, right? It should always be, as you know, my wife's grandmother would say, right, a march, right, and a work, right? This is what you're doing. So it's just like you're marching, you're working, you're marching, you're working. And Paul is expecting that there should be progress in the Christian life. Mm-hmm. He believes that we should never be this year in 2021 where we were last year, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and for a lot of us, the belief in progressing and recognizing that progressing in the Christian life is actually the key to deeper truths mm-hmm. and understanding, because he's saying there's some beautiful stuff I want to give to you, but you can't even get it because you haven't progressed. Mm-hmm. So complacency is something that is what immediately leads to a certain blahness when it comes to reading scripture.
The Word of God, yeah.
Because you just haven't progressed.
Yeah, did you guys all hear that out there? Like if you're reading the Bible, and maybe you've downloaded the Inverse Bible Study Guides at inversebible.org, maybe you had this kind of ceiling in complacency. Maybe it's not the Bible, but maybe it's your experience that's causing that to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I want to bring one other point here. He says, you should have been teachers, but you're not, right? Uh-huh. So maybe at a certain point, rather than just learning, getting more information, that in your experience and teaching the Word of God is what you need to get to that next stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Go to Callie, and then Israel, and then Sebastian.
Yeah? Okay.
Sure.
What you said is kind of where I was thinking to go, is this isn't just a spiritual truth that you need to continue to progress in order to improve, or you need to use what you have. It's true in everything. Mm-hmm. It's true in exercise. Like if you're weightlifting, you need to continue to do more reps or higher weight to get strong.
Yep.
And if you just stay the same, it just goes away. Mm-hmm. It goes away. And I think about, I'm a software engineering student, and in the way I'm studying, I studied a programming language called Ruby for a long time, got really good at it, and then I started learning JavaScript. And I have the privilege to be a TA at my school, so I still teach Ruby while I'm doing JavaScript. And while there's people kind of coming to the end of the program, they're like, man, I don't know how to use that first language. Like, we took all those hard tests, we did all those projects, and I forgot all of it. But I know it because I'm still teaching people at the beginning to use Ruby. And so it even helps me understand what I'm doing. I'm not trying to make this about programming languages. I'm going to tell you so many cool things.
It's about programming languages.
But what I love about seeing that is the way I actually grow as a JavaScript programmer is to remember what I've learned in Ruby and to have people ask me questions that I never thought of asking. I just accepted, like, this is what we do in Ruby, it is what it is. Mm. But as I'm teaching people, like, well, why does it work that way? I'm like, that's a good question. Mm. And so then I go and study it further and I understand it better. And so I think your point about teaching is so important, because we can kind of feel like, I remember when I was in high school, I told one of my mentors that I was like, you know, I don't feel like I can talk about Jesus yet, because like, I don't know enough. Like, I know like he saved me and like he loves me, but like, I don't know everything. And very tongue in cheek, she's like, yeah, you should just go like hide in a cave and then memorize the Bible. And once you do that, then you can tell people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I paused for a second. I'm like, here.
Just speaking tongue in cheek.
You're being sarcastic. Yeah, and she's like, yes, I am. Yeah. But like, we think that's ridiculous, and I could tell she's being sarcastic, but we have those kinds of expectations of, I'm just drinking milk, so obviously I have nothing to give. Mm-hmm. I should wait till I've leveled up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like a really, really well-versed Christian. I'm in the verse all the time. I know all the stuff. I'm on inverse. But it's like, but he's even rebuking them, like, you should have been using what you had. You should have been beyond this point. And I think teaching and sharing and being involved and being tested is such an essential step of growing in maturity in all these realms.
Amen. Amen.
Well said.
Yeah.
I love how the next part, chapter 6, verse 1, it begins to talk about what the milk versus the meat is. Mm. And I think the problem that we have as a church is that we've And what the milk, by the way, is what the what's that first language? Not the JavaScript, but the other one.
Ruby.
Yeah, the Ruby. What the Ruby is. he's gonna define what the Ruby is here. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us now move on to perfection. Notice what the Ruby principles are, right? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, towards faith of God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, all these different things. In other words, it's like, look, you focus so much on these doctrinal things, like knowing, cognitive knowledge of God, that you've forgotten that you have to move on beyond a cognitive knowledge to an experiential relationship with Christ, which ultimately is reflected in perfection, which is ultimately sanctification, which is becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And so what has happened to the church in Hebrews is that they have lost sight of the fact that these challenges in life, that the hardships that they're going through, are actually the next lesson book in helping them to better understand the knowledge that they've acquired over life, over life's difficulties and perplexities.
And when you think about exactly what Israel just addressed, right, is this is not just true for the Hebrews, it's true for us today, right? The very truths that he's trying to teach them about the high priestly ministry of Jesus, as we've established in the very beginning of the season, is the very truth that is present to help you through the challenges that you're trying to endure and that you're considering quitting because of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, yeah, you were robbed, you suffered this, right? But now you're just like, man, forget it, I'm throwing in the towel. And it's like, well, think about the fact you have someone seated on the throne, a king and a priest in heaven, right, on your behalf, who can overrule this situation and turn it for good. But this is the very truth I'm trying to teach you, but I can't because you haven't progressed. So it's foundationally a part of our experience that when these issues come up, I love what Paul is saying here, is that usually it's a problem at the foundational level. And when we start getting to higher level stuff, it exposes it. So then it's like, oh, see, the reason why you're having this problem is because you didn't lay a strong foundation. So we have to lay this foundation again about what repentance is, what it means to have faith in Christ. What was your baptism really a symbol of? And that's where I feel as if people who progress older in life end up thinking this way as well about some of the simple teachings and truths of the church.
Amen. Kelly?
I'm thinking of other reasons why we don't progress. And I think one that I resonate with is I don't like to venture into unfamiliar territory. If I've mastered something, I'd like to stay there, because then I feel competent. I feel like I know what I'm doing. And to go back to programming, I remember when I made that transition from Ruby to JavaScript, and I was, again, very good Ruby programmer, but I started JavaScript and I'm like, dude, I can't build anything. I can't do the most simplest of tasks. I'd rather just go back to what I know. But what I felt like I was regressing. Like I had all this progress. I'm such a great thinker with programming, but I felt like I was regressing when really I was leveling up. And we can confuse those feelings of this is difficult, so that means it's bad, or I don't understand it, which means it's not meant for me.
Or we plateau and we feel like we're actually going downwards. We don't know. It's not an accurate diagnostic of where we are.
Exactly. And so we can be progressing when we don't feel like we are, but we actually are.
Well, hold that thought, Callie. We're going to come back. We're going to program in a break here, and we're going to come back and look at verse 6, something that's impossible that Paul talks about. So stay with us. Welcome back. We're in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, and we're talking about falling away and the dangers of not, well, Kelly, you were talking about leveling up and plateauing.
Yeah, just about, because he's talking about progressing, just that we know this, but we need to be reminded of this, that our emotions do not match reality a lot of the times.
Yes.
And so progress doesn't always feel like progress, but doesn't negate the fact that it is indeed progress. Yes.
You know, it's interesting, Justin, that it's a specific adaptation to impose demands. So your body naturally adapts to the demands that you impose upon it, right? So stronger, faster, more agile people, more mobile people are that way because of the demands that are imposed upon the body. And the body naturally adapts to those demands. And to me, as we look here in Hebrews 6, right, in verse 4, where he talks about what happens if you fall away and how impossible that is because he's dealing with the fact that your spiritual muscles can have atrophied to such a point, and you've received such benefits, right, that once you get to that place, we're contrasting complacency with this ultimate issue of falling away at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the results that happens of trying to get you back to that same phase again. So for some people who've achieved it, they've experienced it, and then they fall away is a very different experience for a person who's fresh in the world and been untouched by said demands. Mm-hmm. And this is why I believe that for Paul to build this connection from you're dull of hearing, you're not progressing, to all of a sudden it's impossible to even renew you if you fall away. After I've tasted all these things, he's trying to combine the concepts of growth and atrophy. And what happens as a result if you go from this point of growth and you're experiencing it, and then you hit a point of action.
Well, let's actually read that passage, Sebastian. Mm-hmm. Let's go to verse chapter 6, verse 4 of Hebrews. Verse 4, the Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Mm. That is a heavy, heavy verse. Yeah. It's talking about Israel, you know, the elements of sanctification that you talked about, having that encounter with Christ, having that organic connection, and then for them to once, you know, they're there, and then they once they lose it, is it impossible for them again? That's what the Bible's saying.
Yeah. Israel. Well, and we have to remember that as long as there is repentance, there is always forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's the ultimate portrayal of Scripture. As long as there's repentance, there's always
the door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so God is in the business of giving us a gift of repentance, right? Mm-hmm. Here you're talking about a group of people who have finally will no longer accept Christ. And the pain that results of that, of an individual who came to Christ and then after tasting the goodness of Christ decides to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. And more than anything, this is a warning of the peril of how Kelly has presented already, of not progressing. It is impossible for the Christian to plateau. Mm-hmm. You know, you're either moving forward or you're drifting away.
Right.
And that's the warning that Paul is trying to bring mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, there's no such thing as just like finally reaching your plateau. This is not like a business or like a position of growth. You're either growing in Christ or you are drifting away to the point where one time you're going to just be indifferent to everything that God has done mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we do know of people who had that experience, and yeah. repentance is the route to come back. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's, Sebastian.
No, I was just gonna
you're
mention
a little hand move there. Sorry, what that was.
He's trying to swim.
I was trying to get my dance on.
Put him in some water. He'll move.
So when you look at the book of Hebrews, you also see, going back to Israel's point about the exhortations earlier in the episode, that there's a progression, right? He started off in chapter 2 saying, well, how shall we escape if we neglect, mm-hmm. right? Now we're at a point where he's talking about falling away,
yeah.
right? So now we've gone from, okay, you see, it starts off as neglect. Then it's, you know, chapter 4 where you refuse to enter, right? You hear his voice and you resist that voice and you refuse through unbelief to enter the rest that he has for you. Now we're at a point where we're talking about full on falling away and divorce. Mm. Where you're deciding, you know what, you're a great wife, you've done everything perfect, I love you, you've been there for me, but this time right that we're in right now is just too difficult, I'm walking away. Mm. And it's like, I mean, how easy do you think it is to heal that relationship? Mm. And so I think it's important to see that Paul is progressively increasing his warnings throughout the book, you know, to go from, yeah, you're gonna drift away, it's just neglect, right? Don't pay proper attention to it. Now we're coming to a point where, yeah, you're actually falling away,
yeah.
and you're just walking away.
Yeah, let's keep on going here because Paul doesn't leave us there, yeah? I mean, there's
right.
some encouragement coming up, yeah? So, Callie, can you start reading from verse 9 onwards?
Mm-hmm. "But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you."
Yeah, that sounds positive. Yep,
yes, keep going. "Things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Mm-hmm. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister."
Okay, so why does Paul mention that? What does he get? What's the point there?
The church has obviously been kind, right? There's obviously good elements to the church. Mm-hmm. They have ministered mm-hmm. to the saints, and they still continue to minister. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is, look, God is not unjust. Like, everything that you're experiencing, the hardships that you're going through, don't think that God is going to waste that. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the life of Joseph, right? I mean, out of all the people in Scripture, the one that to me impacts me the most is the suffering of Joseph, right? Stripped away from his family at an early age, sold by his brothers. No one would ever choose that life. But what I love about the story of Joseph is that as he recounts everything that has happened to him, his life ends with that classic phrase, right? God will surely visit you and you will carry my bones. In other words, it's a legacy of devotion to God, meaning that there's not a trial that befalls God's people that God will waste. And so he says, God, the God that we serve is not an unjust God. Mm-hmm. The challenges that you're going through in life, the difficulties that you're experiencing as a church, God is not unjust. He will remember and he will pay you back for every suffering that you've done.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Let's keep going. Verse 11, Sebastian.
And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Okay, so that's a lot. That's more encouraging, more exhortation there, yeah? Israel, from verse 13 onwards, please.
For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by a greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before
us. Okay, we see the impossibility being a theme, a word that's repeated over there, yes?
Yep.
And then I'll finish that part. I know we read this before, we'll read it again, verse 19. This hope we have in this anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Why this impossible theme here? What is Paul getting at there?
There are many things that seem impossible to us, right? We experience in our lives, we're experiencing something that might seem impossible. Mm-hmm. What I appreciate about this passage is that Paul is now lifting up our minds beyond our reality, right? It's talking about Jesus entering behind this veil or whatever. What that's talking about, what that's referencing is actually the inauguration of Jesus Christ as King. Right, when he enters, when Moses inaugurated the sanctuary, he passed through every compartment and blessed it, right? And so it's talking about here the inauguration of Christ, meaning that while all this is going on, while all this seems impossible, don't forget that while all of these things that we're going through seem impossible, don't forget the Jesus of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, right? Mm-hmm. That the man who is God himself, that the man who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that the one who became a human being in order to save us, that this God is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God and is moving circumstances on our behalf to make us one with him, to be saved forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's contrasting the impossibility verse 4,
yep.
that having been fallen away, and contrasting that with the impossibility that once God says something or God does something, it's going to be done,
right?
These two things are being juxtaposed, and which of these two are you going to fall into, right? Mm-hmm. And when Jesus says the immutability of his oath, meaning Jesus being king, or his promise that Jesus was going to be foretold, these are things are for sure, so keep believing them, yeah? Mm-hmm. This is where the encouragement is coming from. So impossibility versus impossibility, the choice
Correct.
Is yours.
And I mean, who doesn't know what it's like to be in a situation that seems impossible? Mm. I mean, I think that's the critical thing. And specifically here, when Hebrews is talking about our own spiritual decline, we've seen ourselves get to a place where we don't like where we are spiritually. And many times it can seem impossible, right, to come out of that specific spiritual situation. And to see that on the other side, the things that God promises, right, that I'm able to save to the uttermost, right, those who come unto God by Jesus Christ. When God says, I cannot lie and I promised you eternal life before the foundation of the world, in Titus 1 and 2, it's like, well, he can't lie. Mm-hmm. So when my situation seems impossible, I have to decide which impossibility am I going to embrace and focus upon. Mm-hmm. What's going to be my internal voice, my compass that says, do you go with the impossibility of yourself or do you go with the impossibility that God cannot lie. Mm-hmm. And based on my ability to embrace that is going to determine the outcome of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I love, you know, Martin Luther said, when I look at myself, it's impossible to see how I can be saved. Mm-hmm. When I look at Christ, it's impossible for me to see how I can be lost.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to choose between which impossibility we're gonna choose. Mm-hmm. The impossibility to save ourselves or the impossibility of God to fail in saving us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On that note, how many of you out there have this impossibilities in your life? How many of you know of people who have stepped away from the faith? Or perhaps maybe you are watching this and you think about in your past that you've had a time where you were much more spiritual than you are now. Now is the opportunity where God is giving you to repent. Repent is just merely another word saying to stop and turn around and ask the Lord for the impossibility to fail to come into your life. That impossibility of God's oath, God's promise to you to be real in your life. I don't know about you, but this makes all of us, whether you're spiritually good or bad, to be sticking with God, who is after the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. What is that order of Melchizedek? We're going to continue studying that priesthood in our journey in the book of Hebrews. He is of the order of Melchizedek that cannot fail. He is in heaven right now. And I don't know, Hebrews is becoming one of my favorite books. We're going to be quoting this more and more and more. I want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org and continue studying the Bible study guides online or through our app on social media comments as well, but also in our app stores in Apple and Android under the rubric of Sabbath School. We have so many resources all out for you. It is impossible for you not to study the Bible. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week here on Inverse. God bless you.